on SEN Questions Without Notice. For Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
A 7 o'clock edition of Questions Without Notice, best way to get through some of the biggest footy topics kicking around, some of the issues that were discussed on the various platforms last night. Do you want to open the batting or would you like I to? Or me?
Yeah.
I or me?
So I'm just reading a text message that came through.
Oh, yeah?
Can I read it out?
Yeah.
I could not wait to get to work to send this text message. Tim, I have family members who have had their private restaurants and who are severely struggling financially. Do you honestly think that someone winning a medal in a pool on their tax dollar is going to bring them joy? Obviously, your six-figure salary has not taken a hit through COVID. It just goes to show how out of touch your reality is, Tim. Well, Andrew, I feel sorry for you and I feel sorry for every other person out there. But for a moment of joy, I'm not saying that what the medal did yesterday is going to take all that away from you, all that pain, all that hurt, all that stress. I'm not saying that for one second. I'm saying for a moment there was great joy in this country because of what Ariane Titmus did in the pool yesterday.
You don't even
and
need
I, no, but I feel for people that. Andrew, but there are some people who think because we talk about sport and
not many
what's going
think
on.
That, Tim. Not many.
But Andrew does. And
no,
I just wanted to clear that up with Andrew.
No, that's
there.
Fair enough. And I'd also... I'm sorry to see the situation that you're in, Andrew, with your family as well, mate.
We all know people, Andrew. Don't think for one second that we don't know. We could talk here for three hours about all this pain and suffering that's causing people, but I don't think that that's exactly what people tune into the radio to listen to.
Everyone thinks the world's falling in on them, and I can understand why. And yeah, you're right. We haven't had to endure the struggles that you and your family are, Andrew, so hopefully everything's okay, mate. Question without notice. Do you play Charlie Curnow this week or not? Friday night footy.
Yeah, if he's ready.
Channel Wisp and Fox Footy on Friday night need something to draw our attention to St Kilda and Carlton because it's not box office. It's not a big box office Friday night event. Now, I know there are some...
It's a big game for Carlton.
I know there are scheduling challenges all around the place. There's a macabre feel about this.
In the fact that... Well, if Carlton don't put a good performance forward, then...
Yeah, there's blood in the water.
There's already blood in the water.
What would happen Friday night if we sit there and Max King and the rest of that crew get to work on Carlton and open them up and win by 10 goals?
And I'll paint a different picture for you too in answer to your question. What would happen if we sat there and watched that game and Charlie Curnow limped off before halftime because he wasn't ready to play? Well, the question is, should they play him? I'm saying if he's ready, play him. If he's not ready, don't play him.
What do you get out of it?
Simple answer to
the
question.
What do you get out of playing Charlie Curnow?
You asked me this question last week and I said exactly the same thing.
What do you get out of playing What is the upside of playing Charlie for the next 4 weeks?
Well, if he's ready, you play him.
Why?
Because that's what footballers do. They play games of football.
What's the risk and reward of playing this kid hadn't played for two years?
That's what those people get paid to do. They assess the risk of playing somebody. And if there's no risk, I'm saying this.
Grumpy. A simple question.
If there's no risk, if there is no risk associated with playing him, then you're playing him.
There's always risk. Coming back from 2 years off.
Well, if he's not ready, he's not ready then.
Don't play him. Give another 6 months of pre-season. Have him for round one, 2022.
That's what I'm saying. If he's not ready, don't play him. If he's ready, play him. If you are satisfied, well, the upside is that he gets to play football again, and that's what players do. They want to play football.
Righto.
And the upside is that, you know, Carlton fans may get to see something exciting and optimistic about Charlie Curnow returning as well.
0433 98 11 16. If you're a Carlton fan, do you want Charlie to play or do you not want Charlie to play? Your call. Your question. That was a good opening from me.
Excellent. Is this magpie fight starting to become a vicious blow that needs to be delivered by Jeff Brown? In the paper today, I think he said, Michael Warner's written a column here, Pie Fight, Brown Lashes, Absurd Quarter Elevation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's become a little bit more serious than what it was, okay? He wants to be the president, Jeff Brown. He's reaffirmed his intention to take over as Collingwood president, right? And he said it'll either be for an election, the annual election, or if there's a spill before that. Okay, but this is what he said. It's absurd that the list manager, Ned Guy, should be let go and the chairman of the finance committee elevated to chairman of the club.
Yeah. So what it
That's
says...
That's the strongest thing that he said through this whole period of time, Jeff Brown.
Yeah, and he's been flushed out to a large degree here, Jeff.
By?
By Eddie last week on pretty classified by saying this is getting ridiculous, blah, blah, whatever he said.
And then Carolyn Wilson wrote an article
on a big article on the
Saturday morning in
Saturday
the Age.
Morning in the Age saying sort of put up or shut up time. So he has. And now he's starting to throw a few. And if you know Jeff, as I do, and you do to a degree, then if he puts his mind to it, then there'll be no prisoners. And now Mark Corder will, you know, they've been pretty aggressive in the way that they've also called him a bully or something, or accused him of bullying. So, yeah, gloves are off. And that's what's going to happen. If you want to be the president, you just can't sit in the background and wait. You
and say,
put your hand up and go, here I am.
Yeah, I'm the right person. Give me the job. I'm here. But he also went on to say that he has experience working with and understanding the salary cap more than anyone else on the current column
of
board.
He probably anyone in footy. And he wrote the damn rules.
You just said before that you know him better than me. I don't know how you know him better than me, but anyway, putting big noting yourself there. I was heavily involved in the drafting those rules, and I know them intimately. Clearly, that will be an advantage to assist the club to work its way out of this current dilemma. So he's having a real crack at getting the job
now.
Yeah,
well, he should. If you want to be the president, you don't do it by stealth.
You put your
chin out there and say, this is who I am, this is what I stand for. We need to know who his board is, who his ticket is.
Well, that'll be the next article that'll be written.
Well, has your man got a well-placed source there or not? Tom Brown got a really well-placed source?
He's got a really well-placed source
there.
Give
us something.
Well, Tommy Brown's in a difficult situation reporting on this one.
Oh, no. Very quickly, Clint and Adam, Tim got very passionate about Charlie Curnow. Clint's in Ballarat. Play or not, Clint?
Yeah, I think he should play for the culture and the members.
Right, good. That would be good for Friday night. Adam's in Hawthorn. Play or not, Adam?
Yeah, definitely think he should be playing this Friday because Andrew Russell said he's been through a huge block of training and that he's ready to go. So just to bring something to the supporters in such a bleak finish to the year, I think it's something that would be quite joyful.
Yep, overwhelming positive response here is to play Charlie if he's ready to go.
You don't want to play him, though.
That's the Carlton supporters. I just don't know what the upside is. Maybe for his own confidence, he needs to run around and have a game of footy.
I think there's an element of that as well.
Yeah, and that's fair enough, too. Hey, we finally arrived at the conclusion on the back of what's taken place this year from an off-field recruiting point of view, from a half-back flanker's point of view. You don't need to buy them. You just find them.
You can make them.
Yeah,
you can pretty much turn anyone into a halfback flanker.
So now with this hindsight,
no disrespect to anybody that's been a great defender, but in the current form of the way the game is played, you can pretty much turn anyone into that. Look at Caleb Daniel became
Saad
a super player back there,
and Williams.
Yeah,
this is what the Blues have chucked their money into, right? I know they hoped that Williams would be a midfielder, but not fit enough to go there. Versus, I watched Daniel Rioli on the weekend.
Mm.
Looked like he'd been playing there for 20 years. Daniel Rioli just found him. They've been doing that.
Richmond have been doing that for the last three years. They've been turning blokes around.
Nick Blakey's gone. I mean, it's
short.
100
little
examples.
Baker went back there.
Yeah. So don't buy them.
Stack's gone back there.
That's the catch cry. Don't buy them. Find them.
No. And that is, I think, another mistake that Carlton has made.
Of course it has. Of course.
And they've spent a lot of money on those blokes there. Hey, if you're part of the review, you're part of this Carlton review, what are you actually looking at? When it gets to David Teague and his coaching of the Carlton Football Club, what is it that you're analysing about him?
His ability to, you've got to identify if he's got a game plan or a style of footy that you think's going to hold up in this competitive environment. And then his ability to implement the game plan and have it carried out by his charges.
Yep.
And that's why it's a challenging time for him. Because he may, and we argued this last night, he may have the best game plan in the world, but his players aren't playing to it. There's just 100 examples of it over the weekend being shown everywhere. Or his game plan's flawed. And that's why they're in such a bit of a mess at the moment.
Well, he's in real trouble if that's the case. Mm. If he's got the best game plan, but the players aren't playing it, that means that there's a lack of communication and he has an inability to be able to get the players to play the way that he wants. And he's had plenty of time to be able to do that. So what you were saying, I'm in agreement with you here. I think he's in massive trouble because of that.
Yeah.
And I think that is the fundamental reason why they'll be looking at him as their coach.
I think that's right. Because you compare them to who they played on the weekend.
And how short a time he's been there and what he has been able to implement in terms of the way they play.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of work to do at North Melbourne. But that was a stark comparison between two teams at the weekend, despite the fact that, you know, Carlton has got some injuries.
We'll speak to Sam Edmund. That the findings or the report or whatever you want to call it into that Carlton situation are being handed down today. This week. Certainly this week. Do you think that... What if the recommendation... I don't know if there's a recommendation handed down, or I'm told a presentation is to be made this week to Carlton by the people who have done the review.
Right.
So they've finished their work, basically. Yep. What if he wins the next four games by an average margin of 10 goals and they've made their mind up on him?
Well, if they haven't announced it by that stage, I think, personally, I think there's enough evidence there right now for them to decide upon whether or not they believe David Teague is the right person to...
Right. So it's not week to week.
It shouldn't be. You shouldn't be fluctuating on the emotions of win losses week in, week out. There's enough time now for him to have established what it is that his coaching is all about and when that's going to be successful for Carlton going forward.
Right, your question?
My question for you this morning would be, are you satisfied that the Buddy Franklin 1 week is enough for that incident at the weekend?
Well, what I am, I'm happy with a week, right? But I'm more confused than ever given the... three examples that were shown last night of players who didn't get a week.
They got off, yes.
Asprey, Shuey.
Cunnington? Did Cunnington get a week for his?
No, there was one other. There's one other.
There was another one, okay.
I think they'll be questioning whether they go to an appeal on the basis of those players getting off.
Would you? Or would you say a buddy probably needs a week off anyway?
Yeah, that's what my feel is. But they may feel really strong about it. And go, this needs to be talked about. Throw your elbow back, hit someone in the head, though. You're taking matters out of your own hands. How big a loss is Alex Keith? I think this has gone under the radar to some degree. I think Alex Keith has been one of the very, very best defenders in the competition this year.
Yes.
And he's out for the rest of the home and away at least.
Yes, and has good chemistry and connection with those other guys because he has been there for so long.
Well, he's been the only big dog down
there. That's right. So they've got Shacky that played there last week and did a pretty good job.
He's a mile off being penciled in for a final.
100%. But... the finals aren't for another month.
Yeah,
so can he play well enough and establish some sort of form line over the next month to be able to cover for what Keith has been able to do?
He'll be given the chance.
It's an unknown. You can't really answer that question, I don't think, confidently at this stage.
About Josh?
No, you can't.
Oh, no, not at all. But he's been given a chance, which is great, and he's made a good start to it. But it's a long way from finals footy. Playing in the heat, and that man Alex Keith is absolutely critical to the Western Bulldogs. Critical, given who they're going to be playing against through September.
You had some fine stuff on the couch last night. You looked at the premiership contenders, Geelong. On all the numbers that you crunched last night, are they in best position now, currently, as we sit here this morning? Are they in the best position to win the flag?
No. Yes, you say yes, as we sit.
Based on those numbers, yes.
Yeah, on the pillars. On the profile, the premiership profile, as they call it.
So who's next best, the Bulldogs?
I think it's Western Bulldogs. If you want to see who's ticking boxes, it's Geelong, Western Bulldogs, then Melbourne, and then the other three challengers, Port Adelaide, Sydney, and the West Coast.
Those boxes, those most important boxes to tick, what are they?
Well, they are scores from clearance, post-clearances, I know you've got them there. I gave them to you. What are you asking me for?
Because I thought you might
clearance,
have
post-clearance,
committed it to memory.
ball movement and defending ball movement.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, these are all numbers, you know. You just got to get it right at the right time of the year. I mean, you can make a really compelling case that the Tigers have ticked a few of those boxes still, but they're not in contention right now. You got more questions without notice there coming up. The Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year. We've got a nice little run of Jason Richardson from Tokyo out of 8 o'clock. We've got Harry Perryman, great performance by the Giants. He's coming up at 7:40. Sammy Edmonds coming in at 8:30 to give us the very latest lay of the land.
The country is back racing strong. Book now at country.racing.com. Kogan credit cards, no annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
You're right. I've been picked up. Apologies. I said that the Eagles, the Lions, were the other ones that are absolutely in contention. So their profile, their premiership profile, looks okay. Not as solid, and these are just numbers, by the way. But not as solid as the other three. But they look okay. They tick a few boxes. Tim, question without notice. Eddie Betts, does he play on next year? He's got an ankle. He's going to be out for probably at least two, maybe three. Have we seen the last game of Eddie Betts?
Yeah, I think so. I think this will be his last year. There's been moments this year where he's looked like he's been the most dangerous small forward, but I think it's probably at that time now where they sit down, they have that, I think they probably had that serious conversation towards the end of last year, and
they
decided to let him go on and play one more year, or he wanted to go and play one more year. I think he's happy to be around the football club. I don't think they'll lose him to the football club, but I'd be surprised if he went on and played again next year. Have you discovered a flaw in Melbourne's game at the moment?
Not one, not just one.
You got more than one?
There's a few flaws.
Is there something that they should be seriously concerned about right now?
I didn't discover this. Dan Hoyne did, Champion Data. So you know, their stoppage work's been poor, their clearance work's been poor, but it's the whether you get scored against, right? So the in their defensive 50, so in their back half of the ground, they are 18th in the competition for conceding scores. So you go, what's that look like? So if you're a Melbourne supporter, think back to the Marcus Bontempelli at that stoppage inside forward 50 where he just ran onto his left boot and kicked the goal. So that there's your problem right there. You go, how's that happen? Why is the structure wrong, left footer? You know, how can we left the inside of the ground open? How can he go into that? So that sort of stuff. They're 18th in the competition for conceding scores. Around the ground, they're two. They're number two. So they've got a good structure around the ground. Don't get scored against. But in that defensive part of the ground, it's been a real issue for them since about around 13 when their form started to slip. So that is one thing that they'll absolutely be going to work on.
They've got plenty of time to work on it, though.
Yeah, well, they have, but they've got a few issues.
And the drop-off, Jackson's dropped off in performance, Spargo's dropped off in performance, Pickett's dropped off in performance. Is that a major concern to them as well?
Well, they're not the ones who will win you the premiership because they're only young kids, but they are really important.
They're really important players.
They're a really important part of, you know, driving you through there. I mean, it's Petrarca's and Gorn's who are going to win you, but those guys are a big part of it, and that's understandable that you can have a drop-off, but It's getting to the pointy end. They got West Coast, Geelong, Gold Coast, Adelaide. So you could say two hard games, two tough, two not so, but the not so's are the ones that have given the biggest trouble so far. So I think it's a really interesting month for the Demons.
Matty Lloyd, I think
I had this question.
Okay,
for you.
You go.
Matty Lloyd said it mightn't be the worst thing in the world if the Bombers don't make the finals. Let's have a listen.
I said last week they should treat the North game like a loss. So I think he knows exactly where they're at. Sometimes you can make finals too early, and I reckon it'd be too early for the Bombers if they made it this year because it's been a good year, but they're not ready for it.
What say you to that? Would it be the end of the world if they don't make the finals, or could it be a good thing they don't make the finals?
No, it won't be the end of the world, and maybe. You know what? If you're building a great team, and that's what they're attempting to do, and they're certainly not a great team yet, you've got to build it on a winning culture. So if you get there, then that's great because you've won enough games to get there, and that's been great for you as a group of players.
Yep.
And what you get out of that and what you're building as a result of that is going to hold you in good stead going forward. But if you don't, then it's not going to be the end of the world for this group.
Right.
I think they've got a realistic – I think the most important thing is that you have an honest handle on where you are at as a team. And we have seen that time and time again.
Yep.
Where clubs have overrated their playing list and where they're at. And there's this fool's gold that is part of AFL football, and you believe you're almost in reach of, you know, playing off in, you know, big finals when you're not, and you need to be realistic about that. And that's what they need to do. They need to go back and be realistic. And I think they are. I think they've handled it pretty well.
Can Joe Danaher drive Brisbane to a premiership? We asked this last week, and his performance on the weekend was pretty impressive. The first half was horrible. Second half, they got their act together. His numbers in that game were close to season high and best in his career. Can he be the pivotal part of a Brisbane premiership?
Yeah, he can. The short answer to that is he can. Yeah, he can. He can do that. There are moments in Joe's game still where Joe still looks like a 15-year-old kid playing a game of football for fun. And that's the way he is. That's the way he plays his football. But those moments, if they come at the wrong time for Brisbane in critical games, then they can undo a lot of the good work that he may have already done throughout the course of that game. And I still see those rearing their head from time to time with Joe. So that would be my only concern about him. Talent-wise, yes, he's enormous talent.
Have we undersold Jaden Stevenson's season given what he went through last year, at the end of last year.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And the way that he started this year off as well, because they were a poor team early on. They were disorganized early on. And he was playing average football early on because of that. And then he's found his role comfortably over that period of time. And as the team has increased their output, his output has increased as well.
Would the remorse be at Collingwood? I know that they've got young kids who all showed a bit last Friday night. I was pretty impressed with what we saw.
They gave up.
But, geez, a good player, James.
They gave
up. And 39 touches against the Eagles, you know.
Yeah, I know. I would really love to have the honest conversation with somebody at Collingwood, deep in the Collingwood Football Club, as to why they did give up on him.
I think there's enough info coming around.
What is it, though?
I thought he wasn't training hard enough.
Yeah, he was 21 years of age.
That's what I'm saying. He's a little bit loose. Hello?
Yeah.
Who wasn't at 20 or 21? Yeah, probably be about two blokes.
Yeah, the penny. And there are degrees of looseness and behaviour and things like. A lot of clubs back themselves in with players and say, okay, well, you know, he's a young kid, he's a scallywag, but he's not a bad kid at heart. We're going to believe that we're going to be able to build around him, and, you know, we're going to provide him with all this assistance and help, and he's going to become what we believe he's capable of becoming. Was it that and
was salary cap?
His salary cap too, yeah.
But I just watch him play.
Look at him now.
Gee, he'd be handy at Collingwood. Anyway, we've all been there. You move on, and they have got some good kids coming through. They're going to be okay. Mick, just hold on there for a second. Mick, we'll get back to you. Got to get some news headlines. The women's triathlon is on this morning, and it's been postponed because of inclement weather, which would have to be pretty serious.
That's not code for the boat backing over.
No,
some athletes, is it?
No, the typhoon. I wonder if it's the typhoon, because I think it's supposed big impact on the surfing. I think the surfers are supposed to be rubbing their hands together because of the swell that's coming their way, but not so good for the other sports, including the rowing, which was always going to be under some pressure. And now a delayed start to the women's triathlon, and we'll speak to our man, Jason Richardson. I'm not sure where he is. He was supposed to be at the triathlon. He's probably gone to a sushi bar.
Probably.
Mick's in Mornington, in actual fact. G'day, Mick.
Gaz and Tim, you guys have got great insight. I love listening to you.
Thank you, Mick.
I just got to say something about Carlton, though. I think our biggest mistake is our recruitment. I don't know what they were looking at when it comes to recruiting Williams, because I was watching him at GWS before Carlton were even looking at recruiting him. And I thought back then, the only reason he's playing well is because he's in a great side. Mm. Those guys around him were great, and they made him look great. And Carlton got fooled by that. So they've gone out and paid overs, way overs for him. And now they've got to face the fact they've got all these young kids that are there. Some of them are better than Williams. So they're going to have to start looking at what they can keep and what they can't keep. And they're in a bit of a pickle, because realistically, the way Williams has played, he'd be number one on your list to get rid of, to get somebody else in. And I just don't see how they can fix that up. But I only look at our past, and there's only been three brilliant recruits to the Carlton Footy Club, who they came as great footballers and they continued as great footballers. That's Greg Williams, Rhys Jones and Earl Spalding. They all played premierships with the club, because they came to the club with the expectation they had to play at the best of their ability the whole time. Mm. These guys have been given this handout of $800,000, come and play with us. They in their understanding, their minds, they're probably thinking, I don't need to work too hard now. I've got the best deal I'll ever get.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Mick. Sorry to cut you off. We've got to get to a break, but we've got to get Harry Perriman in. It's an interesting one. It's just, Carlton, I'm sure, in their mind, thought that they were recruiting a midfielder and paying for a midfielder in Zach Williams. And that's on Zach a bit. That's on Zach, the fitness of Zach and the way he prepares. He had a fantastic game through the midfield in a big final against Collingwood at the MCG. Maybe, they looked at that and thought, yeah, well, there's our next midfielder alongside Cripps and Dow and Walsh and everyone else. And then the reality was much different. It's one thing to be able to pinch hit as a midfielder, Tim. Another thing to be able to play there week in and week out and week in and week out and prepare and recover. And all the best midfielders are phenomenal preparers. And I don't reckon that's Zach Williams. Now, maybe he can get that right over this summer. But right now they've paid a poultice for a halfback flanker.
I think he's a great watch, Zach Williams, because I think you're right. if he knuckles down and then turns out next year in the best condition that he's ever and blows all his records away in endurance and speed and all the things that you would require a professional elite athlete to do,
yeah,
then he can then potentially be what Carlton hopefully recruited.
Yeah, and there's so many examples of players that have been able to do that.
Players have been able to do that.
Themselves, made the changes, and guess what? A lot of it comes down to bloody hard, painful work. And if you're prepared to do that, they may still have a midfielder on their hands. It doesn't look like it at the moment. Harry Perriman is a very nice player for the GWS Giants, but he's one of ours. He's a farmer. He's going to join us next.
That was Questions Without Notice for Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.